like to follow his teachings and try to be a follower of his and progress towards him? He says, yes, I accept him. Now, we have to see in him what he will be if he is given the attention, the deepening, the same way that we saw in the seed, a tree conditioned to the fact that the seed will get water, sunshine, and the nutrients it needs. There's nothing different about it. But we have to have that, we have to begin to develop that faith. Our faith now has to take a dimension in which, in times of difficulty, when progress of the souls seem very slow, we don't give up. That crisis doesn't bring us down. We have faith in the power of the creative world. And we have faith in the potential of every human being to become the most wonderful Baha'i. How long it take him? How do we know? What do we care? If our position is not one of thinking one by one of the people, but we are trying to see how a whole population, thousands of people, is progressing towards Baha'u'llah at any rate that each one of them can do it. And surely detachment will have to take another dimension. For this is too big for any one of us to become its owner, this process. We can't contain it. So if we try to contain it, if we try to control it, if we want to manage it, just won't work. So detachment won't be just detaching ourselves a little bit from some faded delights or whatever it is that we detach ourselves from, the little thing here, a little time here, but we really have to sit down and think of detachment in the whole sense of a world, even detachment from the very process in which we have put all our love and all our heart. And just work entirely for the love of Baha'u'llah. That's the ideal. I'm not saying that it's easy or we just make that or we have. But trying to show that there are distances, there are new meanings, there are new dimensions to the spiritual qualities of the teacher that has to occur for us to make this new jump, if you wish, towards a different type of growth. Then the organization of teaching will have to change. For example, what happened in Colombia was that we taught in one region of Colombia. There was, let's say there were 8 or 10 of us, just 10 of us to get round numbers. And we began to teach. And it went very fast, and before we knew, we had 5,000-6,000 Baha'is. This is about 10 years ago. Now, as we became aware of this whole concept of having different people moving at different speeds and so on, and we did get some people. We got 30, 40, 50 people who could become teachers. But the problem was that the 10 of us, when we sat together to think about all these 5,000 and think about those 40 or 50, it was impossible. We would get so frustrated that it was a regional committee, regional teaching committee. We couldn't think of more than 2 or 3. So we closed on ourselves again, the group of teachers. Became the same ones, the same, we could get up more or less 20. So every time we had to think about all the things that had to be done, 50 villages that had to be visited, we never had anybody more. It was him or that person and so on, because that was human physical constraints, and we could know a lot of people, but couldn't go meet them. We couldn't really nurture them. We couldn't know where they are today or this weekend or get to them. Right. So, even when teachers began to arise from among this population who was becoming Baha'i, we ended up with a restriction in the organizational level, where just one regional committee couldn't manage. Therefore, the number of teachers was not growing. So all of a sudden we found ourselves in a situation when there were some 10 people in this path of understanding of service who had really made a lot of progress, and then there was a large gap. Not because there weren't people who were capable, but we couldn't organize them. Then came the idea of creating permanent teams of expansion consolidation. What we did, we said, all right, let's get together, you know, more or less the 20 people who were teachers. Let us divide into 10 teams, still under the regional committee. And the teams had two strong people in them. He said, all right, each team now takes this population again, it divides it into small zones, small groups of villages, each, let's say, of 10,000 inhabitants, not all Baha'is, but let's say more something like that. And now these two, we begin to look at the same process, but for this smaller group, this smaller population, still large enough to allow statistics. Right. So now these two people sit and say, here is 10,000 people, we are really part of them, even if they don't live there, it doesn't matter, but spiritually they would say, we are part of them, and now we want this whole population will progress towards Baha'u'llah. And then see if we could divide the goals of the region among the teams. So what the teams would do? The teams began to establish for themselves goals of growth. They took the goals of the Universal House of Justice for Colombia, and they looked at it. So what do we have to do in this population to allow what we want to do? The first goals of the teams were spiritual goals of growth. It wasn't, you know, let's get so many Baha'is. The first goals were, we would like to grow in devotion, we would like to grow in understanding, different things for different teams that they felt. We want to grow in such a spiritual qualities, we would like to grow in love. So those were written down. Those were the first goals. Then the second set of growth goals were goals in the growth of the team itself. They said, for example, in the next 6 months, rather than being two, we would like to be six. Six people who are involved in these goals, who teach, who deepen with us. And then goals of growth, we would like to bring in from this 10,000 people, let's say 500 people into the faith. We would like to, with at least 100 of them, we would like to study such things and then see if they can go back and teach the others. And from those, we would like to work with 20 of them in very intense institutes to teach them more. And from those 10, we would get the other 4. So that our team actually grows. Now here is a different scheme of growth, a scheme of organization, which allows for growth. And if a team gets to be 10 or 20, the members, and they have done all they're saying, they can divide and become two teams. And just like a organic cell, we can grow. Now this kind of organization doesn't seem to have the limitations that we had before. It surely will have its limitations when we get from this stage of growth we are at, which is at the level of say 100,000 Baha'is in the whole country, or in this region is about 20,000. When we get to double or triple that, we will have to come back and think again as how we will organize ourselves. So the organization of teaching, be it teams or not, we can talk about these things afterwards as far as Canada is concerned. But these are the things that have to happen. And then just one final comment is the message, the content of the message that is given often has to change. One of the things that we have to be careful is that we don't reduce the message of Baha'u'llah to just a simple set of things. For example, God is one, man is one, Baha'u'llah is the manifestation of God for today, and once you become a Baha'i, then you elect the local assembly. I mean, that's, in some places, if you look at it, this message is repeated and repeated and repeated and repeated to the people. But that is basically what is said. All the other teachings, the depth of the spiritual teachings, of the understanding about life, death, everything that we have in the faith is never taught. So the message, I'm not talking about here really, I'm talking about our own areas, but this was as we were analyzing how the tendency was to just bring it down to something that we repeated. So the content of the message has to become much more spiritual. And I think it will have to be done in North America also, in a different sense. I don't know Canada very well, but I remember, for example, some communities where, as I think back, it seems to me that a lot of the message we gave was what the Baha'i faith is not. The Baha'i faith has no clergy. The Baha'i faith doesn't solicit money. All these things. But really the depth of what the Baha'i faith is, and the challenge of true spiritual change, and the constant use of the creative word, has to be, it is indispensable in the context of mass conversion. Because if we really think about it, what is it that we have got? What is it that we are doing? What is the thing that we use to bring about change? Our principles? Just that? Obviously our principles, but just that? Just an intellectual description of what the faith is? Just the showing of what an ideal would look like? Or is it really that the weapon, in a certain sense, The only weapon that these soldiers for Baha'u'llah have is his word. Not just only his message as explained by us, but his own word, the creative word, in all its depth. The only difference is among people, from the most educated to the least educated, is that somebody is capable of reading and absorbing, understanding partially a few pages of it, and to somebody else you have to take it sentence by sentence or paragraph by paragraph. But there cannot be any difference in the content of the message, because it is the power of the creative word that brings change about. Not just a description. The description of the history, the principles, the ideas and so on, all help. Those are all knowledge that we are giving to people so they understand what the Baha'i Faith is about. But the thing that has power to change hearts is the creative word. So we have to use it. And as we use it, and we begin to see amazing forces of the creative word, especially on people who are not very educated in a sense, intellectually developed, if you wish to call it that. So that kind of change also had to come about. And it has to come about more and more and more. I think all this is a long process in all these countries. And my suggestion, I guess, is that we consult a little bit about the same kind of changes and the same kind of things that probably would have to happen in Canada. If you wish, and I know you do wish, to have entry by the troops, and you will. I mean, you can and you will. It seems to be the time. The National Assembly has decided that it has to happen, and I'm sure many of you have decided that it has.